All right, so we are holding on Cofield Cast on with Aleph, fifth line. Fifth line, yeah. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah that we had as follows. We had the first, there was a Mishnah in the desert. Then we had when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, and it took them 7 years to conquer most of Eretz Yisrael and another 7 years to divide most of it. During that time, the Mishkan was in Gilgal. Then after that, they moved the Mishkan to Shiloh, and it stood there for the next 369 years. Then it was destroyed, and Bo'ol and Nov and Givon, and then they came to Nov and Givon. First, the Mishkan was in Nov for a few years, then in Givon, until the first facing of the Israel. And during that time when the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, was saying, you could build a Mizbeach anywhere you wanted and bring Korbanos. Well, right, so we had the previous discussion, what Korbanos could and couldn't be brought on a Bama Ketana versus a Bama Gedola, right? We had the different opinions about that. And in particular, our Mishnah had mentioned that at the beginning of the Perek, where all the Mishnayos were jammed together at the beginning of the Perek by the printers, it said over there that during the time the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, so Kodshim the rule is as usual, still they can only be eaten in the courtyard of Mishkan. Kodshim Kalim could be eaten in any city, in any Jewish city. Now, you actually have two Girsois over there. The printed Girsa just mentioned Kodshim Kalim, didn't say anything about Ma'aseh Sheni. On the side there, and also Shittim Kubesis, they're just on the side over there, brings another Girsa or Ma'aseh on it. So that's going to be part of Ma'aseh Sheni, rather. So that's going to be part of what the Gemara is going to discuss over here. So first we need to establish how we know, B'chlal, that after the Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed, between then, during the 57 years from then until the first Beis Hamikdash was built, how do we know that Bama is a Mutar again? Maybe it's the same way. It's the same way once the Beis Hamikdash was built in Yerushalayim, you're never again allowed to have Bama. Maybe it should have been the same thing after Shiloh. So the question is, where do we know this from, that there was a time when Bama is a Mutar between Shiloh and the Beis
Hamikdash?
That's referring to. Because that's Rashi explains. Had the Bama is a Mutar. No, why? You could say that you could do the same. Well, so the same way as nowadays, we can't bring Korbanos. You could argue that maybe once the Mishkan is established in Shiloh, then that's it. There's no more Heter after that. So like this, the Tana Rabbanan, we learn not like that. We learn in a Braisa. This is in last week's Parsha. Kiloi Bosem at Oter Alam Nucha Velam Nasla. The Pasuk says that you have not yet come because you haven't yet come. It's talking about in the times of Gilgal. You have not yet come to the Menucha, to the resting place, Velam Nasla, and to the inheritance. So what does that mean? Elam Menucha Du Shiloi. The word Menucha refers to Shiloi, which was like a temporary resting place for the Shekhinah. Nachla Du Yerushalayim. And the word Nachla, an inheritance, which is an ongoing thing, refers to Yerushalayim. The Lama Chilkan, so the Braisa says, so why does the Pasuk break them apart? If the Pasuk just wanted to tell us, you should know, when the Mishkan is in Gilgal, you're allowed to build Bamos because you don't yet have a permanent place for the Shekhinah, then it could have just said, you haven't yet come El Menucha Behanachla, El Menucha Tanachla, or whatever, it could have just used one expression and not the other. Why doesn't have El Menucha Ve'El Hanachla? The reason is, today listen Heter Ben Zelazeh, to imply that there's a period of Heter of Bamos between the Menucha and the Nachla. That's where we get. So therefore, during those 57 years of Nov and Givon, Bamos is a Mutar. That's what it means, in other words. So Rashi ties to that. What Moshe is telling the Jewish people, right now you're only able to bring Ish Kol HaYoshev Eino, which the previous Gemara discussed meant that you can only bring voluntary korbanos on your private Bama. Why? Because you haven't yet come to the Menucha and the Nachla, implying once you come to the Menucha, and later on, once you come to the Nachla, you won't be allowed to have private Bamas anymore, but in between them, you will.
What's the rationale?
The rationale, again, we've talked about before, is when the Aron is not together with the Mishkan, then it's not really a full-fledged Mishkan. So in Shiloh it was, but in Nov and Givon it wasn't. During the period that the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, first the Aron was for 20 years in Kiryas Yearim, we discussed this yesterday, and then it was for, and then the rest of the time for the next 37 years it was in Yerushalayim. So Shiloh was a full-fledged Mishkan. Yeah. Okay.
And therefore,
yeah, so therefore no Bamin. Although we'll see at the bottom of the Amud, we'll see maybe. Okay. Anyway. Amud later Shlokish Lord of Yechman. So now the Shlokish asks Rav Yechman. Maisa Sheni Nami Listen. Why doesn't our Mishnah also mention Ma'aser Sheni. Now, again, I mentioned that you have two different Girsois in our Mishnah. One, that Taka doesn't mention anything about Ma'aser Sheni being eaten. The other one is it does. It says that Kodshim Palam and Ma'aser Sheni can be eaten B'chol Orei Yisrael. So you have, based on that, so based on those two different Girsois, so you have different explanations in the Gemara over here. One explanation, so Rabbi Hanano seems to understand that actually the answer is going to be that actually during the period of Noiv and Givon, the din of Ma'aser Sheni B'chlal didn't exist. You still had to give Truma, you still had to give Ma'aser Rishon to the Levi, you still had to give, in certain years, Ma'aser Ani to the Ani, but you didn't have, according to Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation, you didn't have, the implication seems to be you didn't have a mitzvah of Ma'aser Sheni during that time. However, Rashi and Tos, Ma'aser Sheni is where you're supposed to either take it to your Shalayim, or the place where the Mishkan is, or you exchange it for money, and you bring the money to your Shalayim, and so that's the thing. So that's Rabbeinu Hananel. Rashi over here understands that it means that he has the girsa that are in our Mishnah, Ma'aser Sheni, and therefore he understands that why is the Mishnah telling us that they had to bring that they could eat Ma'aser Sheni B'chol Orei Yisrael when on the face of it they should have to bring it to Noiv and Givon, the same way as in later times you would have had to bring it to your Shalayim. Tosfos has yet a further discussion on it, and Tosfos says that the answer is going to end up being actually that, well, again, the question is why they shouldn't bring it to Noiv and Givon. So the question of Tosfos is the same as Rashi, but the answer is going to be different, that during the time of Noiv and Givon, there was no place that you could validly bring it. It would have been, in effect, like nowadays, the only thing you can do with Ma'aser Sheni is be posing it. As it is nowadays. You don't bring Ma'aser Sheni to your Shalayim and eat it. What you do if you have Ma'aser Sheni is you redeem it you exchange it for money, and then it should be that you take the money to your Shalayim and spend it on food, but we don't do that nowadays because we don't have the business. So therefore, what ends up happening is eventually you have to destroy the money or convert it back into payrus and destroy the payrus or whatever because it's also b'ana. So it would have. Yeah, according to Shulah, they definitely would have. We're asking about Noiv and Givon. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so Rosh Lakish is asking of Yechon, and again, either Ma'aser Sheni should have existed during that time, or Ma'aser Sheni should have had to be brought to Noiv and Givon. Why not? On the way, he says, Ma'aser Shom Shom Me'oren Koyal. Because we actually learn a Zeta Shava about Ma'aser Sheni using the word Shom involving the Oren. Ma'aser Sheni, there's the expression, Ba'achaltem Shom. In last week's parasha, and again, Rashi brings us actually two psukim, both from last week's parasha, both from parashas Re'ez. Ba'achaltem shom lifnei Hashem lekechem, and lifnei Hashem lekecha ketchlanu b'mokom achiyivcha l'shakan shmei shom. So you have psukim that refer to Ma'aser Sheni with the word shom. By the Oren, you have the expression v'nasata shom et haroin ha'edus. So you have a zera shom of the word shom. Given the Oren Lehava, so therefore, since there was no Oren in Noiv and Givon, because we just said for 20 years it was in Kiryas Yearim, and the rest of the time it was in Yerushalayim, therefore, in Hunami Lehava, so therefore, Ma'aser Sheni wasn't, so therefore, you didn't have the din of Ma'aser Sheni during that time. Again, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, it means Ma'aser Sheni Bechlal was not Noiv during those 57 years. According to Rashi, it means therefore, Ma'aser Sheni really could be eaten, as our Mishnah had said, Bechol Orei Yisrael. And according to Tosfos, it would mean there's nothing you can do with the Ma'aser Sheni except redeem it, and then naturally you're eating it B'chol Orei Yisrael because that's the usual rule after you redeem Ma'aser Sheni. Because David brought it to Yerushalayim. After 20 years in Kiryas Yearim, David wanted to bring it to Yerushalayim. I described yesterday that afterwards David wanted to build it. Because they understood from the Sukkim that there's only supposed to be Menucha and Nachla. And first of all, he knew that eventually the Beit Mikdash is going to be in Yerushalayim. So it's not time to build the Beit Mikdash. Yeah, fine. He told it's not time yet, but the Oren can still. So the Oren can still be in Yerushalayim. Right. Well, the word Shom means where the Oren is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Omale. So that's the answer. So Rabbi Yochanan says the reason is because Ma'aser Sheni is tied to the Oren being there. By the way, there's an interesting idea. I think the Rogatov talks about. I think brought it sometimes in Sichas. Now, the Rambam makes a point of saying what happened to the Oren towards the end of the first Beit HaMikdash, the famous thing that Yeshua had hidden in the tunnels under the Beit HaMikdash, so that it wouldn't fall into the hands of the Goyim. So I think the other brings that I think the Roger Trevor said, the reason why that's one is that our mom, so that our mom's not out to teach us history, that our mom's teaching us a lot, because the fact that Oren is still there in the complex, in the Beis Mikdash complex, is what makes it still be a Beis Mikdash, and still that Ma'aser Sheni existed as long as the Beis Mikdash is standing, and the dinim that we've discussed before and we're going to discuss later about you can't bring Karbonis anywhere else, because the Oren is still there.
We know it's in fact.
And well, according to that, that's what the Rambam is writing. It was hidden under those funnels. Yeah. During the 70, that's the thing we're talking about. During the 7 years, of Golus Bavel, according to that, there are actually a few opinions about it in the Gemara Yoma. But the Rambam accepts as halacha the opinion that it was hidden someplace under the Beis Mikdash, someplace under the Kodesh HaKadosh. Therefore, in effect, it's still there. Okay. Fine. Okay. Amalei. So. Okay. They were going to never handle, I guess. If they did, it would have. If it did, I'm sure it would have made headlines. Yeah. Okay. Onward. Besides, it would have melted off their faces like in the Liberators of the Lost Ark. Come on. Let's go. Okay. So Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, "Da'amalach Holmani." So this that you're saying that Ma'aser Sheni is tied to the Aron, and therefore during Noiv and Gibbon, they didn't have to bring it to Noiv, or they couldn't bring it to Noiv or whatever. Who is that like? You're telling me that apparently that's Reb Shimon. Apparently that's according to Reb Shimon. Da'amar, where Reb Shimon says in the previous Sugya, we had the machlokas of what korbanos could be brought during the time of Gilgal, and the same machlokas applies to Noiv and Gibbon. He says, "Atzibur, that not only the Yachid couldn't bring any korban, only voluntary korbanos, but even the Tzibur, lo hikruvu ala Pesach, could only bring the korban Pesach, v'chovas hakavu ala hemzman, and any obligatory korbanos that have a fixed time." So we said the Tomid and the Musal and the korbanos Musaf, avo chovas she'en kavu ala hemzman, but apparently according to the Shimon, we said that korbanos that are required to be brought, that at a certain, sorry, korbanos that are required to be brought, but not at a fixed time, we said, hacha v'hacha loikarev, we said according to the Shimon, and actually Tosfos points out, according to the Rabbanon as well, a yachid couldn't be bringing them. Well, then the question becomes, ma'ase behema, chovas she'en kavur lahem zmanu, isn't ma'ase behema, it's not really a question. We're explaining, in other words, that this whole discussion can only be according to the Shimon. The reason is Ma'aser Behema, Chovas She'en Kavur Lahem Zmanu. Well, Ma'aser Behema is an example of an obligatory korban where there's no fixed time. Whenever the animal is born, 8 days later or 30 days later or whatever, you bring it as a korban. There's no, or you're supposed to bring it as soon as possible after that, but there's no specific date that you have to bring it. So therefore, according to the Shimon, it would come out that you couldn't bring Ma'aser Behema in Gilgal or Noiv and Givon either. And the Ikkash Ma'aser Dagon, the Ma'aser Behema. Furthermore, we know that there is a hekesh between meister of grain, or wine or oil, and meister of cattle, because you have the pasuk again, Maslik Parsha, after to after, which refers to two meisters, one of meister behema, one of meister jagan, which from that hekesh we learn a number of different games. Among them are that the bechor, that the meister behema is not nitzel, even if you leave it for next year, even if you're not makos it during that year, whatever. Anyway, the point is that So therefore, apparently, what you're telling me is this Braisa that we said, or not this Braisa, our Mishnah that said that Ma'aser Sheni is not being brought to Noiv and Gibbon, apparently that would only be a point of Reb Shimon. Because why would Reb Shimon say that you don't bring Ma'aser, that you don't bring Ma'aser of produce to Noiv and Gibbon? Because it's not necessarily because of the Gzeira Shava of Shom Shom, but because Reb Shimon is saying that you don't bring Ma'aser Behema because that's a chov, and Reb Shimon says you don't bring chovos unless there's a fixed time for them. Since Ma'aser Dagon has a hekesh to that, that's why you wouldn't be bringing Ma'aser Dagon.
From the hekesh?
Because of that hekesh of Ma'aser Behema and Ma'aser Dagon. Implying mitzvah. Yeah. That would be a clear shock. No, because of the hekesh between Ma'aser Behema and Ma'aser Dagon. Since Reb Shimon holds, on the basis of his limud from the Pesach, that during the time of Gilgal and Noiv and Gibbon, you could only bring voluntary korbanos, and the Tzibur could only be bringing the Pesach and Chovas that have a fixed time, and a Yochid couldn't bring any Chovas, then therefore that means they're not bringing Ma'aser Behema, and automatically that means not Ma'aser Dagon either. So the
same pasuk,
No, well, after to after, it says. You should take, and the Gemara explains, in Bechorot, that it means that there's a hekesh between these two mitzvahs. There's certain dinim that we're doing from one to the other.
That's
the hekesh, right. Okay. So the question is, then, Miklal, the Rav Yehuda Korib, so does that imply, then, that according to Rav Yehuda, you would, in fact, bring Maisa Behema? And according to Rav Yehuda, then it sounds like you would also bring Maisa Dagon, the Maisa of produce, to Noven Given. In other words, it sounds like our Mishnah is not according to everybody, it's only according to Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda would, in fact, say that Maisa Shemi has to be brought to Noven Given, same as in later times it had to be brought to Yerushalayim. And the answer is Ain. And indeed, that's so. The Ha'omer of Abba Bamasna, might be shame, you might be behemoth, that Cholon Benova given the giver of Yehuda. Yes. We say Rav Abba Bamasna says explicitly that according to Rav Yehuda, you would bring might be behemoth to know even given, because according to Rav Yehuda, a Yochid can bring any Korbanus to know, to Gilgal or know even given. According to him, there's no difference between voluntary and obligatory Korbanus. Just that according to him, if you want to bring out a private bomb, that's going to be voluntary korbanos. So according to him, Maisa Behema, being a korban that you're required to bring, would have to be brought to Noven Given. And therefore, the same way, using the hekesh of after to after, he would say the same thing would apply to Meister of produce as well. We don't know that they did or they didn't. We don't have historical records from that time. And all we have is what it says in the Sukkim. It doesn't spell out in the Sukkim whether people were bringing mice or grain to Noven Given. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon can be arguing about whether in fact they did. So our Mishnah that says that they didn't have to, that they could eat it the whole order of Yisrael, would be appointed of Shimon, but we're saying Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. So the question then becomes, you have to have that your Maisa Sheni, and for that matter, Maisa Behema, have to be Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. There has to be a Bira. A Bira in particular means a place where the Oren is. And we just said before, the Oren was not there in Noven Given. But the answer is, the Lav Tonei of Yosef knew, don't you know, that of Yosef taught a Braisa. Sholish Bira came. There's three places that are called Bira, that are considered Lifnei Hashem, even if not all of them have the Oren. Number one, Shiloh. Number two, Benova Given, which counts as one because they have the same name. And number three, Beis Elamim and the Beis Mikdash. Well, they are. They're a few miles apart, but that's not the point. The point is they have the same dinim. They followed one after the other time wise. Gilgal was separated from Noz and Given by a few hundred years. But Noz and Given is one after the other. Mishkan was in Noz for 11 or 13 years, and then it was destroyed, and then it moved to Given for 44 or 46 years. So altogether, that's why the Gemara is talking about that whole 57 years, Noven Given, as one unit, because even though geographically it's two separate places, as far as Halacha is concerned, it was all one continuum of 57 years. So, Hu Tani Lava Hu Amala. So Rav Yosef taught this right, and he also clarified, what do I mean, in what sense is Noven Given, for example, considered a Bira? La'achilof Maisa Sheni Va'alivet Rav Yehuda. Exactly that. But according to Rav Yehuda, this would have been a place where you have to eat Maisa Sheni. So it comes out that, yes, according to Rav Yehuda, during those 57 years, in every year when you have Maisa Sheni, the same rules would apply as applied beforehand in Shiloh and afterwards in Yerushalayim. You either have to bring your Maisa Sheni to Nov or Given and eat it there, or you have to exchange it for money and bring the money to Nov and Given and spend it there and eat over there. Same rules, in other words. Whereas Rav Shimon would disagree with that whole concept. And again, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, was saying Rav Shimon would say Maisa Sheni, the cloud didn't apply during that period. According to Rashi, what? Pesach is a chloe, but that's an exception. But we said before in the Gemara when we were learning Rav Shimon's opinion, we said Rav Shimon agrees that the Pesach is an exception to that.
Everybody
agrees that the Pesach they brought in Gilgal. It says so in the Pesach, and therefore, yes. So that's that then. So the bottom line is, again, that Rabbi Yehuda would say that they did bring Maisa Sheni during the time of Noz and Given, same as they would have had to later to Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Shimon says, either according to Rabbeinu Hanano, that the whole thing didn't exist during those 57 years, according to Rashi, that they could eat it in any city of Eretz Yisrael and don't need to redeem it, and according to Tosfos, that the only thing they could do is redeem it. They could not eat it any place without redeeming it, and there's no place to bring it. So therefore, it would be like nowadays. Next, the Mishnah says, Bol Yerushalayim. So then the Mishnah continues. Next, they came to Yerushalayim, and they... When they started building the first Beit HaMikdash, it's now 440 years since they came into Eretz Yisrael. those 440 years, again, you had 14 years that the Mishkan was in Gilgal, 369 in Shiloh, 57 in Novan Gibbon, and now they're starting to build the Beth Mikdash. So once they built the Beth Mikdash, then we'll say that then we're saying in the Mishnah that now at that point for now Bomos are offer anywhere else. The loy ha'olah and hetzer, the Mishnah continued, there's no hetzer for Bomos afterwards, and that is not.
From the time they started building
it, Rashi. There's a lav of kares, that's what they've been subject of this whole parak on the previous one. So, turn it on, so we learn in a braisa. So let's analyze a little bit. When we say the pasuk, kila dosim ad osa, you have not yet come, the pasuk says in Parashas Re'eh, ela menucha ve'ela nachwa. What is menucha, what is nachwa? So our Mishnah took the view, as we said before, menucha is shiloh, nachwa is Yerushalayim. But we're going to see there's more than one opinion about that. Turn it on, bottom, we learn in the braisa. When it says, kila dosim ad osa, ela menucha ve'ela nachwa, Menucha is Shiloh. Menucha, the temporary resting place, refers to Shiloh. Nachla is Yerushalayim. And Nachla, which implies a permanent inheritance, is Yerushalayim. The Omer, and you have a pasuk where we see that idea, where we see that Yerushalayim is called Nachla. You have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Hoysali Nachlosi ke'aryeh bayar. Hashem complains to the Navi that my inheritance, meaning Yerushalayim, is like a lion in the forest. Like people are tearing at each other and hurting and killing and whatever each other, like a predatory lion in the forest. So we see that Yerushalayim is being called Nachla. Well, Omer, and because people are doing all kinds of averus, being under machaver, and people are cheating each other and killing, and this is towards the time before the first Beth Mikdash was destroyed. We know that they're the big three averus that the first Beth Mikdash was destroyed for: Avodah Zarah, Gilad Ayis, and Shvichas Damim. So here he's focusing on the Shvichas Damim and all the other things related to that. Well, and you have the next part that continues. Hashem also says over there to the Navi, Ha'ay Sabur Nachlosi Li. Is my inheritance like a painted ayat? An ayat is a bird of prey, like a vulture or something like that. Painted, yet some of the Mephoroshim explain that it means like streaked with blood, because these are predatory birds that feast on dead bodies, dead carcasses or whatever. Some of them say that it means like a bird with very colorful feathers, like therefore all the other birds are jealous of it. Ha'ayit sabi v'leah, so that you have vultures surrounding it. In other words, there the Hashem is saying, like so to speak, like look what a situation we've come to, where now all the goyim are surrounding Yerushalayim and want to destroy it because of the Jewish people have been misbehaving, have been acting like a predatory lion. The point that ha'ayit sabur nachlosili, does my inheritance have to be like a painted or colorful vulture? Ha'ayit sabur alayah, that you have vultures surrounding it. The point is, in both of these stukim, you have the word nachlosi referring to Yerushalayim.
Painted means
either the bird is streaked with blood after feasting on a carcass, or it means that it's a colorful bird, and therefore the other birds are jealous of it. Now, the point is that we see the word nachlosi is being used about Yerushalayim. Divir Rabbi Yehuda, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore we see that nachla is Yerushalayim, therefore by elimination, menucha must be Shiloh. Rabbi Shimon says the other way around. Menucha is Yerushalayim, nachla is Shiloh. It's the other way around. In the pasuk, kila bostim and otel menucha vela nachla, it's out of order. Menucha refers to Yerushalayim, nachla refers to Shiloh. Va'omer, and he says, I can prove it from a pasuk and kill him. Zos menuchasi adead, Hashem says, when after the fight for the Beth Mikdash was found, this is my resting place forever. Toy eshe tebisia, this is where I'll dwell because I desire it. Va'omer, and you have another pasuk. Tibacha Hashem b'tzion, and in that same capital, Tibacha Hashem b'tzion, Hashem has chosen tzion, Yerushalayim. Ivach l'moish avloi, he chose it as his place to settle. So we see that Yerushalayim is called menuchasi. Because in the next part it says the Tzion. So therefore, Rav Shimon says the other way around. Menucha refers to Yerushalayim. Nachla refers to implying a permanent menucha. Nachla refers to Shiloh. Right, the question is, Shleim l'manda amma menucha to Shiloh. Okay, according to the Behold, then the pasuk scans very well. Then now we understand what it means that the pasuk is saying you haven't yet come to the menucha, and you certainly haven't yet come to the nachla, which is Yerushalayim. Therefore, you're allowed bombing separately. Elul mando amu menucha is Yerushalayim, but according to the Shimon, that menucha is Yerushalayim and nachla is Shiloh. Then it should say elam nachla velam menucha mibayle. Then it should be in order. The pasuk should say you haven't yet come to the nachla of Shiloh or the menucha of Yerushalayim. So how does the Shimon understand the pasuk? The answer is, according to Reb Shimon, what the pasuk means is as follows. Hashem is saying, you know why you allow bombers during the time in Gilgal? Because, never mind Menucha, which is Yerushalayim, you haven't even reached that yet, because Yerushalayim wasn't even conquered until a few hundred years later. You haven't even reached yet. You certainly haven't reached the ultimate Menucha in Yerushalayim, and you haven't even reached the Elam Nachla. You haven't even reached the temporary Nachla of Shiloh, and therefore bombers are allowed. So the Shimon can understand the Pasuk that way. Well, fine, but in terms of we talk about the place, there are places where we see Hashem's presence more, and the point is the Shekhinah, once it rested in the Beit Hamikdash, never moved to any place else. That's why, in fact, that's the basis of the din, which we're going to talk about next. That's the basis of the din that we're not allowed even now to be maqlu korbanos anyplace else, and they're on the basis of that there's going to be a third Beit Hamikdash in that same site, and so it's all based on that idea that Shekhinah lezaza, that the Shekhinah has never moved from that spot. And that's also the... It also depends. I mean, you know... Yeah, I mean, you also have different aspects of the Shekhinah, right? I mean, we also say, Golol Bavol Shekhinah Imam. We also say that in a certain sense, the Shekhinah went with us to Bavol and then throughout all the other Golosim. But there's still an aspect of the Shekhinah that remained in the Beit Hamikdash and stays there permanently. It's for that reason that I'm also asking the din, that no one is allowed to, that people who are Tomei are not allowed to enter the respective areas of the Beit Hamikdash now, just as they weren't when the Beit Hamikdash was built. We're standing. Because it's still Adeyah, it's still the eternal place of the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah never moved any place else, at least that aspect of the Shekhinah, from the site of the Shekhinah.
So what the Shekhinah is saying before, even there, during the time of
once it was chosen, Zos Menuchasi Adeyah, then it becomes Hashem's resting place forever. Okay, fine. Now, more opinions on this subject. We learn another braita. We learn another opinion. They said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that both the word menucha and the word nachla refer to shiloh, which implies, therefore, now we said before that we said. Well, right. The point is, according to that opinion, though, it would mean like this. The Rashi explains that it means that. After Shiloh is destroyed, then again, as we discussed before, you have Bamos HaMutar again. But it also means, actually, Rashi says, according to this opinion, according to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, we would also say, not like what we were just talking about, according to Tanan Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we would say the Kedusha of Yerushalayim also has a Heter afterwards. After the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're actually allowed to bring Karbanos in other places. So when our Mishnah said once the Beit Hamikdash was built, then you're never allowed to bring Karbanos anywhere else, Rabbi Shmuel would disagree with that. Rabbi Shmuel would say, after the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed, you're allowed to bring Karbanos again. And by the same token, he would say, so he would say, in other words, that is Menucha and Nachla refer to Shiloh, but you're allowed to, during the time of Shiloh, you weren't allowed bombers. After Shiloh is destroyed, during the time of Noiv and Given, you are. Then, during the time of the Beit Hamikdash, you're not. And after Yerushalayim was destroyed, after the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, according to him, you would be allowed to again. That's according to Rashi. We mentioned before that Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos discusses the whole issue a little bit over here. Tosfos discusses it more earlier in the Masechta and says, brings from Rabbeinu Chaim that no. Even according to that opinion, we wouldn't say that you're allowed to after the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed. We would say that a person's not chayav karis for doing it after the Beit Hamikdash is destroyed, but they still not be allowed to. Okay. So that's Tanan Rabbi Shmuel. Then a fourth opinion, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Zubazur Yerushalayim. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that both Menucha and Nachla refer to Yerushalayim, which would mean that according to him, according to this opinion, even during the time when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, Bamos were mutter. So according to him, the entire 440 years from when they entered Eretz Yisrael until they started building the first Beit Hamikdash, including the 369 years of Shiloh, according to him, only once they reached Elam Menucha ve'Elam Nachla, both of which refer to Yerushalayim, up until that point, Bamos HaMotzer. But not afterwards, right. And by the way, I mean, we just had the two opinions of Yehuda and Reb Shimon before. So either it has to be that one of them in one place the Gusa is wrong and it's not Reb Shimon but somebody else, or that there's two different opinions what Reb Shimon said. Okay. So now let's analyze those last two opinions, or let's analyze all four opinions. So again, we have Reb Yehuda, which is our Mishnah. Menucha is Shiloh, Nachla is Yerushalayim. We have Reb Shimon the other way around. Menucha is Yerushalayim, Nachla is Shiloh. We have Tanan Rebbe Shmuel that they're both Shiloh, and we have Reb Shimon Ben Yehoi that they're both said Yerushalayim. So Vishleim and on the Menucha is Shiloh, Nachla is Yerushalayim. So of course Reb Yehuda, who says that Menucha and Nachla or respectively Shiloh and Yerushalayim, Inami Ikha, or according to Reb Shimon, that they're the other way around. Good, Hayinu Bechtiv, Ela Menucha Ela Nachla. And now we understand why the Pasuk mentions them as two separate things, in order to tell us they're two different things, and there's a period between them when Bamos are allowed.
In the order sequence?
Regardless whether you say, according to Reb Yehuda, that it's in sequence, first Shiloh, then Yerushalayim, or you say, according to Reb Shimon, it means not only not Yerushalayim, but not even Shiloh yet. Fine, but the point is, they're two different places, and they have two different, and you have a separation between them when Bamos are allowed. But according to Tanit Ve'ev Shmuel, or according to Reb Shimon, who say that both terms refer to Shiloh, or both terms refer to Yerushalayim, Menucha Nachla Mibarilei, then it should just say you haven't yet come to the Menucha V'Nachla. Why does it say El Menucha V'El HaNachla? As if to distinguish between them.
Could you say when it's still Nachla and Menucha also?
You could say Menucha V'Nachla or something, but whatever, fine. Let's say you have two terms, but you don't need the L in between them. Okay, Kasha, Akasha, Amen. Okay, it's not a Sira, but it is a Kasha. Fine. Next. Vishleim Alamander Amos Zuvizu Menucha. We still have the four opinions. So let's continue analyzing. We have a kasha on them. We haven't completely slugged them up. Bishleim Alamander Amazuvizu Shiloi, I can understand if according to Tanit Veda Bishmal, who said that both terms refer to Shiloi, then why would we have two terms referring to the same place? So we could say, Menucha, it was called Menucha the Nacho Mikibush, because there they rested from the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. They put up the Mishkan and Shiloh after they had conquered most of Eretz Yisrael. So at that point, they were able to rest from that. And Nachla, and why was it called Nachla? The Pagu Hasam Nachlois, because they divided up the Nachlois of the Jewish people over there. Because the Pasuk says, Vayichalit Yehem Yeshua, Vayachal Lahem Gordo B'Shiloh Yafi Hashem, the Gemara's paraphrase in the Pasuk, the actual Pasuk says a little bit differently, Vayachal Lahem Yeshua, Gordo Lahem B'Shiloh Lahem Hashem, but whatever, the point is, they arranged the girdle for the remaining Shvatim in Shiloh. What actually happened was, by the way, you had two and a half of the Shvatim, we know, were given their Nachlos by Moshe, Reuven, Gad, and half Manasseh on Eber HaYarden. In Eretz Yisrael proper, on the west side of the Yarden, you had, first they gave out Nachlos to Yehuda, and to Yehuda, and to Manasseh and Ephraim, so to Ephraim, that is, on the other half of Manasseh. Between that, that's most of the area of Eretz Yisrael that was conquered in that generation. You still have, at that point, though, seven Shvatim, not counting Levi, who had not yet received their Nachla. You still have, at that point, what? Shimon, Yitzchak, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Asher, and Binyamin. So then, after they set up Mishkan and Shiloh, so Yeshua sends commissioners to go survey the remaining parts of Eretz Yisrael and figure out what land is worth what compared to what, and then he made a gurdle for the remaining seven Shvatim and gave it after them.
So the first five Shvatim
got their Nachlos before the Mishkan and Shiloh was set up. And then you had, that's what we said before, that they set up the Mishkan Shiloh after 7 years of Kibbush and 7 years of Chiluk. The 7 years of Chiluk is the time that it took them to divide up the Nachla of Yehuda and of Reuven, Gad, and Hasi Menashe, and of Yehuda and Ephraim and the other half of Menashe. Because they're, Reuven, Gad, and Hasi Menashe, because Moshe had given them out, because they took the land neighbor I yarded. And the other five, I don't know why exactly, but that's how it came out. be that as it may, the point is, so now we can understand, therefore, that's why Shiloh can logically be called Menucha and Nachla. Menucha because they rested from fighting against their enemy, and Nachla because that's where they've divided up the remaining Nachla. But according to Rav Shimon, who says that both Menucha and Nachla refer to Yerushalayim, why is it called by both names? Bishleim and Nachla, I can understand why it would be called Nachla, Nachla Tzolomim, because it's the eternal heritage, it's the eternal place where once the Beth Mikdash is built there, then there's no Heter afterwards, the Shechinah never moved anyplace else. Ela Menucha, my Menucha, but why Ephesus is called Menucha, which seems to imply a temporary resting place? The answer is Menucha Orin. The answer is we can call Yerushalayim Menucha in the sense that the Orin rested there. Yechiv, because you have a pasuk by he can know Yacha Orin. Now you actually don't have such a pasuk. So what is the Gemara referring to? The Rashi references that you have a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, Kuma Hashem Elokim Menuchecha Asav Aaron Uzecha. Tosfos mentions you have some other pasukim that mention Menucha in connection with the Aaron. Rabbi Yaakov Emden mentions that never mind all of that. It's hard to say that we're referring to any of those more because, okay, you have a number of psukim that mention the resting of the Aron, but not necessarily in Yerushalayim. So he mentions, you have a pasuk also, Dirayom Aleph, that says that mentions Miminoyach Ha'Aron. That David had set up a rotation of people of Kohenim and Levim to do the avodah in front of the Aron in the place of the Aron's resting place in Yerushalayim. So there we clearly see the resting of the Aron associated with Yerushalayim, and therefore Yerushalayim in that sense can be called Menucha. Okay, fine. Okay, now let's go back. According to Reb Shimon by Yochai, the fourth opinion, that we said Menucha and Nachla both refer to Yerushalayim, which he said, therefore, that means, that Rashi explained, that meant that according to that opinion, Bamites were Mutter throughout that entire 440 years, from when they came into Eretz Yisrael till they started building the Beit Hamikdash, including all the time that the Mishkan is in Shiloh. Abel Shiloh have a Shaya Bamites, that during the whole time the Mishkan is in Shiloh, according to him, Bamites are Mutter. That now we understand, you have a story in Sefer Shoftim, it's that Torah, Parshas Nasoi, the whole story over there with the Malach appealing to Manoach and his wife and telling them that they're going to have a son who's going to save the Jewish people from the Plishtim and he has to be a Nazir, etc. So, the Pasuk says, Vayikach Manoach, so Manoach wants to offer some food to the person, he doesn't realize that it's a Malach, the Malach tells him instead, bring it as a korban. So what does he do? Vayikach Manoach, via isn't there a mincha. So sure enough, Manoach took the kid goat that he had prepared and the mincha, Vayal alaksur l'Hashem, and he offered it on a rock as a korban to Hashem. We brought this in the previous parak to talk about that according to Reb Shimon, we said in the time when Bamos Amutu, you don't necessarily need a mizbeach, a rock is good enough. But the point is, so according to Reb Shimon, fine, that's how it works, because even though it's during the time of Shiloh, you're allowed to bring korbanos anywhere you want. So good.
What about the other
one? That's the question. Shiloh, but according to Reb Shmuel, who says both terms refer to Shiloh, Obamas have Asira, and therefore Obamas are also, and for that matter, according to Reb Yehuda and the first version of Reb Shimon also, that you have Menucha and Nachla, and only in between them Obamas Mutter. So, my vayikach manoach. So, what's manoach doing in bringing a korban outside Shiloh? The answer is hodat shah. You would have to answer according to them that it was a hodat shah. It was a temporary heter that they were given by the malach. They thought it was a navi, whatever. We know the famous thing that he said. It was a malach. I don't know. He himself says, manoach asked him, "What's your name?" The malach himself says, "Vupeli." What do you ask for my name? Vupeli. It's hidden because I'm a malach and our names change according to our mission.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have certain, so to speak, permanent malachim. The Medrash actually says that he was hinting at his name is actually Peli, temporarily anyway, because the expression by Nazir is Ishki Yachli, Rinder Nezer Nazir, and therefore since he's sent to say that Shimshin is going to be a Nazir, so he was given the temporary name Peli to match his mission. Anyway, the point is that it was a Hirasha, that he's just the same way as we know that a Nazir can tell us to be massive outside of the mission, such a famous example being a Yo on Halakhanel. So the same thing over here. They were given a higher off child to bring a korban, even though Shiloh is dead. When we make the siyum, Beis Hashem, we'll talk about, by the way, the sticha on this week's parasha, where the Rebbe talks about why b'chol, why we've been spending blot upon blot over here dealing with the dinim of bamos. Why is it negeya anyway? And the Rebbe connects it with the whole issue of higher off child. So we'll deal with that in the siyum, Beis Hashem. Anyway.
That's why, according to that.
We'll get there. Okay. Tonnage. What?
We're not going to have a high level shot at it.
Well, right now, I don't know of any to be in, but, yeah, okay. Tonnage Ve'ra Bishmol, we learn Tonnage Ve'ra Bishmol, could have Shimon Ben Yechoi, Domo Zuba Zuba Yerushalayim. Now we have another Braita of the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, who taught, according to the Shimon Ben Yechoi's opinion, the Amos Duvizu Yerushalayim, where he said that both Menucha and Nachla refer to Yerushalayim, which is not like the previous Tanit of Rabbi Shmuel that said that both of them refer to Shiloh. The Simonach, and the way to remember this, is Moshka Gavra Lagavri. The one person has pulled the many people to go along with them. In other words, Reb Shimon, who is a Yachid, schlepped along and brought along the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel over to his side. Or Tosfos understands differently. Tosfos, we had a similar simon earlier in the Masechta, and Tosfos explained over there that no, what it means is that Rabbi Shmuel is called the Gavra because he's mentioned only with his name. He's not mentioned with his father's name. Now he had a father. His name is Rabbi Shmuel. Is Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. But he's not usually referred to with his father's name, and here we didn't refer to him with his father's name, whereas Reb Shimon was. We called him Reb Shimon Bar Yechai, Ben Yechai. So therefore the Gavra pulled the Gavri over to his side. Meaning Reb Shimon Bar Yechai, who's called Gavri because he's mentioned together with his father, is pulled over to the other side. Yeah. Then we continue to the Mishnah. Now we have as follows. Now we've been talking about throughout this parak and the previous parak about the dinim, that about the whole concept. The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to be during the time when bamos go off. You're not allowed to be keshet or offer korbanos outside the Mishkan of the Mishnah. And if a person does, he's chayav kares. So the Mishnah made a distinction as follows: if you were makish a korban during the time when bamos go off, and then he was makriv it also during the time when bomb at the offer, then he's chayav kares for that. No question about that. Then second possibility is he was makdish them during a time when bomb at the mutter, for example, during the time of Noiv and Givron, and later on he was makriv them outside of this mikdash during the time when it's offer. Then the Mishnah said there's an over on an esse and a lois esse, but there's no kares for that because when he was makdish them, it would have been mutter to bring him on a bomb. The third possibility is he's makdish them when bomb is the osir, and makdish them at outside at a time when bomb is the mutter. He was makdish it, let's say, while the Mishkan and Shiloh was standing, but then he was makdish it in a private bomber afterwards in the time of Noivin Givron. So we said, then there is an S, then there's only an Esse, but not a Loisese.
And before we had
when it was the other way around, then it was an Esse and a Loisese. And then the fourth possibility, the Mishnah doesn't mention, the Mishnah doesn't mention the fourth possibility, because Makdish in a time when Bomer Samoser, and Makdish in a time when Bomer Samoser, obviously there's no penalty in there. Okay. So now we're going to expand on it. Kola Kodshim B'chola, Omer of Kahana, so Rav Kahana says these distinctions that we're making in the Mishnah, Lo Shanu Ela B'Shchita, all this is only talking about as far as Shechting occurring. And the reason is like this. We learned at the beginning of the 13th parak, when we started talking about all these dinim of shchut echus and halach chut, we mentioned that the psukim in Parashat Achren Mois, you have a section over there that talks about shchita, and then you have another section that talks about halach, but within the section about shchita, there are two different distinctions. We have psukim that refer to korbanos that were designated when bamos are offered. And then we had a few psukim that refer to korbanos that are designated when bamos are mutter. Where then it doesn't mention kares, it just mentions that there's a lois that sound brings. So Rav Kahana says when it comes to shchita, sure you have that distinction. Therefore, because you have different psukim, Ava b'halah. But when it comes to offering a korban outside the Beis Hamikdash, kares nami mechayev. You will be chayev kares in all these cases. Well, not in all these cases. In the two cases where bamos are offered. The one case where he was makdish them when bamos are offered, and the other when he was makdish them when bamos are mutter, and then was makdish them when bamos are offered. Rav Kahana says in either of those two cases, it's going to be chayav kares. My time, the Omer Krov, va alayhem time. Now the reason is, Rav Kahana says, because
one.
According to Rav Kahana, it's one thing, there's a difference between shchita and halah. He's going to say the distinctions we made in our Mishnah, that in one case a person is chayav kares, and in the other case, in the next case, he's over on an esa and a lois esa. And in the next case, he's over only on an esa. Rav Kahana says those first two cases, this that we're saying, explain that in the second case, where he was makdish when bomos are mutter and makdish outside when bomos are mutter, and the Mishnah had said he's only over on Esther and Aloysia said, but no Kares, Rav Kahana says that's true as far as the Shechita. But if you were to do halal like that, he still would be Chayv Kares. My time, and now why is that? So Amasur, Ba'alayhem Toymar, because when the Pasuk starts talking about the dinim of halal, when it starts talking about that you're not allowed to offer korbanos outside of the Mishnah, it uses the expression Ba'alayhem Toymar, implying Al Hasmuchin Toymar. He explains that the word Ba'alayhem means and upon them. The meaning, this that it was describing in the last two psukim of the previous section, that it said that that korbanos that were designated during a time of heter bamos, you're not allowed to be makir them outside during a time of iser bamos, and if a person does, he's over on a loisah there. So Rav Kahana says, since it continues va'aleihem toma, that you're not allowed to offer outside of this mitzvah, that means the Pasuk is saying, regarding those that we just discussed, you're not allowed to be ma'ala them, and if a person does, then he's chayakal. So the shchita, he wasn't chayiv kares for fine. But the halah, he says, once it says ba'aleihem tomar, that if a person offers, he understands that you're referring to the immediate preceding thing. So therefore, even that case.
So the
halah is stronger than the shchita. Maskif for Rabba, but Rabba asks on that. Niksiv va'aleihem tomar. It doesn't say va'aleihem with an ayin, which then, yes, you could understand it means and on them, that we're just talking about another din that refers to those same things. Aleihem, it says in the aleph, aleihem, va'aleihem perim. There's not even a clear sid. It says va'aleihem, which means and to them, meaning you should speak to them, to the Jewish people, and tell them the next din. So you can't say that. You can't say that the next card is referring back to the previous card. Aleihem with an aleph means to them. Aleihem. Hey, whatever. It's the same thing. Like, yeah, it could be. It could be Aleihem, but it can also be Aleihem. The Mikudas, as far as that's concerned, don't make a difference. Okay. But Oid, and not only that, Rabbah says, even if you're going to argue with me, that's fine. We can doubt in the Pasuk the way you're arguing. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Clearly not. Abba follows Hayyur of Shimon over the Kodshim. Rav Shimon said there are four basic cases involving Kodshim. Case number one. Person was makdish an animal during a time when bamos are offer, like nowadays, and shechted or was mala them at a time when bamos are offer, outside of the mikdash. Harein be'etzah v'loisah etzah v'yeshbeh and koris. Then there's an etzah, and there's an etzah because he was supposed to bring them to the mikdash. And a loisah etzah because there's an etzah to shech them outside and offer them outside of the mikdash. And he's chayav koris because the Pasuk mentions koris and both those things. Case number two, Hikzishan b'shach heter abomos b'shach ha'pehel b'shach iser abomos. He was makdish them at a time when bomos are mutter, and then later on he shechted and offered them, and you see, we're saying shechting and offering together, in a time when bomos are mutter, harein be'eser v'loiseth, and then he's over on an eser, because he's supposed to bring them to the Mishkan, or the Beit Hamikdash, and there's a loiseth there, because, again, same thing, v'ein behen koris, there's no koris, because right now at the time of heter bamos, case number three, hikdishan b'shat isra bamos b'shachat ahel b'chutz b'shat heter bamos. If it's the other way around, he designated them as a korban during the time when bamos are osur, and then he shechted or offered them b'chutz during the time when bamos are mutter. Harein the esther, then he's only over on an esther that he should have brought them to the Beit Hamikdash. The ain behan beloy set there, but there's no loy set there because there's no basic message to bring them to. You can't say that Pesach Ayom Moed loy lebiyo, that he failed to bring it to the Pesach Ayom Moed because there isn't one right now. And the fourth case, Ekdishan Meshach Heter Abomos, the fourth case would be he designated a korban during the time when Bomos are mutter, the Shachat Behel of Meshach Heter Abomos, and then he shechted and offered it also during a time when Bomos are mutter, Potter Mikum, and he's potter from many penalties. Now, Tosfos asked the question, why do we even need to say that? He's positive from anything, of course. What would he be hired for? So Tosfos says, let's say, for example, he designated a korban having in mind, and he said when he designated the korban, that he plans to be makrivit on the Bama Gol. He plans to take it to Gilgal or Nova Given and be makrivit over there. And even the Gemara is going to discuss later, which we may get to today, we may get to tomorrow, what about if you actually brought it into the Azara, can you take it out again? So let's say we're talking about that. Let's say we're talking about, in other words, that a person was machzik an animal during the time of Gilgal, let's say, having in mind that he plans to actually bring it to Gilgal, not to be machzik it on his own private lama, and maybe even he even actually brought it to Gilgal. Then he changes his mind and says, you know what, I'd rather bring it on my private lama. There, at that point, you would think maybe he should be chayav for something. That's why the b'raita, that's a stress part to me, cool. Anyway, the point is, this b'raita clearly says that this b'raita, now granted, this b'raita is Rav Shimon, but we don't find anybody disagreeing with him. And he's saying that shita and halal are on the same level. That in case number two, where he was makdish when bomber saw otter, and was mak, when he was makdish at a time when bomber saw mutter, and shechted and offered at a time when bomber saw otter, there's no kari. Not like Rav Kahana says. Shiur to Rav Kahana. So that's a contradiction to Rav Kahana. Okay, so that's it. That's a contradiction. So we slugged up Rav Hana said this chorus for halal. We see from this braita that not, there's no difference between shchita and halal. If shchita, he's only over on an esther and a loisester, so it is also with halal.
We just tell the opinion
of Rav Hana. So that's it. Rav Hana has been slugged up by the braita, yeah. As usual, Rav Hana is slugged up by the braita. Okay. I have no idea. I was asking because there are many different Rafana. There are six or seven Rafana.
Rich
Rafana. Yeah, there are at least six or seven Rafana, if not more, in Shas. I don't know. There's the fact that Masu for Rabba. So Rabba asked on him, so it was either, so it can't have been one of the later Rafanas, like the one with the Rebbe of Ravashi. It may have been one of the earlier ones. I don't know. Okay. All right. Onward. Okay. Then the Mishnah had said, the Elu Kodshim, follow? The Mishnah had said that, the Mishnah had then talked about which Kodshim can be offered in which place, which one can be offered on a private bummer versus a public bummer, which is the whole issue we dealt with in the last couple of blocks. And then the Mishnah continued that there are differences also as far as what's done with a Kurban in a Bamas Yachid versus a Bamas Sibur, private versus a public bummer. We said in the Mishnah, by a private bummer, you don't need smicha. You have the karbanah, so you have to lean your hands on them, such as an oil or shlom or chafas or whatever. You don't do that only oil or shlom by a private bummer. So you don't do that. You don't do smicha. You don't have to daf the shechtem on the north. You don't have to make sure the blood goes on all sides of the mizbeach. You don't need to wave if you bring. What do you mean? You know, no. We're going to learn in the Gemara now. We're going to learn how we know. We're going to learn how we know that each of these things does not apply to a private bummer. So again, you don't need smicha, you don't need shchita stoppin, you don't need matan stoppin, that the blood goes on all sides of it, you don't need snufa to wave the pieces of the korban or the mincha, you don't need hagosha if you bring the mincha to touch the keli with the mincha to the corner of the mizbeach, like you have to do in the mizbeach. The Mishnah continued, you also don't need kihun, you don't need a koyin to do the avodah by a bama, a zohar can do it. You don't need big day shardes, the person doesn't have to be wearing big day kohana. You don't need clay shardes, you don't need the kalim that belong to hektish. You don't need reyach nishchayach, we learned earlier in the Masechta that when it comes to a korban in the Beis Mikdash, you're not allowed to first roast it off the mizbeach and then put it on the mizbeach to be burnt. You have to begin with put it raw on the mizbeach, but on a bama you would be allowed to do that. Not the Kodin Pesach. We're talking about an Ola or the Emurim of any other Kodin. You're not allowed to, because it says Reyach Nechoyach, they have to give off an aroma.
Right.
Therefore, you can't roast them first, off the Mizbeach, and then put them on there to burn, because then they don't really give off the same aroma. Whereas on a Bama, you would be allowed to do that. And also, we said in the Braisa, in the Mishnah rather, we said that on a Bama, you don't need Mechista L'Domim. You don't have to have a line to mark the midpoint of it, that some of the blood goes on the top half and some on the bottom half. And you don't need Richot Yadayim B'Rak Lion. You don't need to wash your hands and feet before doing the Avodah on a Bama. So now we're going to go through one by one and see how we know each of these things is not applying a Bama. So, smicha, how do we know smicha doesn't apply by a bama? Dichtiv, lifnei Hashem v'samach, because the pasuk says, before he brings the korban before Hashem and he leans on it. The bama is not considered before Hashem. Before Hashem means in the azara. So therefore, no smicha. So therefore the bama doyla, which is the mishkan, true, yeah. But a bama katana, here we're talking, all these dinim we're talking about are the bama katana, the private bama. Next. Shita sopa, and how do we know you don't have to shech the korban dafka on the north side of a bama katana? Again, all this is a bama katana, a private bama. Just give safon, no, lifnei Hashem. So the pasuk says that you have to shech the korban on the north side, lifnei Hashem. So again, a bama is not lifnei Hashem. Matonis, how do we know, matonis solid, how do we know the blood doesn't have to go on all sides of the bama? Just give the zorak al mizbeach solid, because the pasuk says that you have to sprinkle on the mizbeach all around. So, the Rashi, Rashi has a bit of a different gear, what the pasuk should be. The Zorach HaKoyin at Adama Mizbach Hashem Tetzach HaKoyin. The Koyin should sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach of Hashem in front of the entrance to the Oyel Moed. So therefore, that refers to a later thing, rather. Alam Mizbeach Saviv, so the point is that the pasuk says, no, well, sorry. What it is the pasuk, the Zorach Alam Mizbeach Saviv, the actual pasuk is, so therefore it's a continuation. It's also the Knei Hashem. So therefore, again, Bama's not the Knei Hashem, therefore you don't need Sabbath. Shnufa, how do we know that you don't have to wave the Korban? Either, again, we're talking about a Mincha, which, either we're talking about the waving of a Mincha, or we're talking about the waving of the Chaz of a Shoyt, of a Shlomim. How do we know you don't have to do that by Obama? Just did the Hain of Hakoyim, the Knei Hashem. Well, the Chazal says, the Kohen should wave before Hashem.
Yeah.
Hagosha, how do we know Hagosha you don't have to do by Obama? Just did the Higisha of the Mizbeach, because the Pasuk says he should bring it close to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach implying the Mizbeach, the central one in the Azara, not any other one. Then we said, Rashi actually has a different gusa over here, that the actual process that should be brought for this purpose is Hakriv Oysa Lifnei Hashem Ofnei Mizbeach. Again, it says Lifnei Hashem, and Hakriv Oysa means Hagasha. So therefore, no Hagasha by Obama because not Lifnei Hashem. Then we said in the
Mishnah.
Okay, so each one, because there's different Lifnei Hashem. By each one of these, I've voted. It says Lifnei Hashem. Or not Yehuda. Each one of these details, yeah, it says Lifnei Hashem. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Mincha B'Bama. We said that Rabbi Yehuda said, never mind Tanufa and Hagosha. Those aren't relevant to talk about by Obama because you can't bring a Mincha on Obama anyway. And we said the other day that the reason is because he learned since the pasuk mentions by Shotechot, it mentions that they should bring Zvachim. Zvachim means Karbonas that are shechted, and a Mincha is not shechted. So therefore, you don't have a source for a Mincha on a Bama. So Amr of Shit. Yeah. So that's it. So no Mincha on a Bama. So according to him, it's not. According to him, that's what they're saying. And therefore, Muhammad disagrees with that. Amr of Shit. L'divrei ha'omi yesh Mincha b'Bama. According to the opinions that you can bring a Mincha on a Bama, also yesh oifes b'Bama. According to that opinion, you could also bring a bird carbon by the Bama. On the other hand, the Divrei HaOmer ain't Mincha B'Bama, but according to the opinion, if there's no Mincha on B'Bama, ain't Oifus B'Bama, then there's no birds brought on B'Bama either. So the connection is Zvachim, because since the pasuk is Zvachim, Korbanos that are shechted, that implies V'Lo Menachos, and not a Mincha, which is not shechted, and also Zvachim V'Lo Oifus, same thing, and it excludes birds, which aren't shechted either, you do Melissa. But therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can't bring a Mincha, would also say you can't bring birds. Because it's only korbanos that can be shechted, he would say, can be brought by a bomb.
And
birds are not. Birds are not. Okay. Next, the koyin. What's the next thing? We said in the Mishnah that you don't have to have a koyin to do the avodah by a bomb. How do we know that? Just give the zorach a koyin, because the pasuk says the koyin should sprinkle the blood, and here's where Rashi brings, as it says, the full pasuk is the zorach a koyin at the jama mizbach Hashem pesach oyo moed. So again, the bomber is not Pesach Oyo Moed, so therefore you don't need a coin. How do we know you don't need Big Day Shoreh? You don't need Big Day Kavona. One second, good point. So let's first load what the Gemara says. L'Shoreh is B'Kodesh, because the Pasuk says you need Big Day Kavona in order to serve in the Kodesh, meaning in the Mishkan, or the Beit Hamikdash, and a bomber is not. So you're asking the question, of course, if you don't need a coin, why should you need Clay Shoreh? So a couple of the Achronim deal, not Big Day Shoreh, rather, a couple of the Achronim deal with that. Some of them want to say that nevertheless, if you didn't have a Pasuk, you would think that maybe, okay, you don't have to have a Koyin do it, but you can have a Zohar do it, but the Zohar has to be wearing Big Day Kohona. So therefore, we need a separate Pasuk. Maybe in this case, by Obama, then he is. Zohar is usually not allowed to do the Avodah either, but by Obama, he is. So therefore, you still need a separate Pasuk. There is an interesting explanation that's brought by some of the Achronim, though, based on something that the Maharam Rutenberg writes. Maharam Rutenberg wants to say, even though we're saying in our Gemara over here, in our Mishnah, in our Gemara over here, that a Zor is able to do the Avodah on a Bama, he wants to say, but a Levi can't. So a Kohen can do it, or Yisroel can do it, and Rashi says over here, even an Eved, for example, can do it, but not a Levi. Why not? The Maharam, the reason is, the Maharam Rothenberg says, because you have a specific mitzvah in the Torah, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs, that a lady should not do a Kohen's Avodah, and a Kohen should not do a lady's Avodah. Therefore, now, since essentially we are talking about an Avodah that's supposed to be done by Kohenim, just that when it comes to a Bama, we have a Heter for a Zar. Therefore, if a Levi were to be doing it, he would be doing the Avodah of a Kohen, and that would be a separate issue. So therefore, according to him, you really need something over here to stress. Since it is basically considered, so the one that Kohen mentions on that basis, since according to him, therefore, it is basically considered the Avodah of a Kohen, just that in this case we have a special Heter for a Zor to do it, he would think, at least if a Kohen is going to be doing the Avodah, he has to wear the big day kahuna. And therefore, we need a separate limud to tell us that not. Or clay sharis. Next, how do we know that you don't need clay sharis by a bomber? Because, again, I'll show you sharis of bomba kodesh. It says regarding the clay sharis that they're used to serve within the kodesh. Again, meaning only in the mishkan or the Beis Mikdash, not the bomber camp. Okay. We said l'reach nichoyach, that we said that you don't need reach nichoyach. Again, you can roast the pieces of the korban and then put them on your bomber. The reason is, because the pasuk says that the korban is supposed to be offered l'reach nichoyach l'Hashem, implying only when it's being done in Hashem's place, so to speak, in the Mishkan, and not over here.
Not a
bamachan. Mechitza b'damim, how do we know that you don't need a separation between blood that goes on the top half and on the bottom half of the mizbeach? Dichtiv, v'hoitza reshes ad chatzi ha-mizbeach, because the pasuk says, regarding the mizbeach and the mishkan, it says that the netting that goes around the mizbeach should reach until the middle of the mizbeach, and that's Udi of an arm sector. We learn that one edge of that netting was marked off the midpoint of the mizbeach, and when it says ham mizbeach, it means the mizbeach of the mishkan, not just any old mizbeach, which is above it, right?
If it said mizbeach,
then it could mean. But besides that, also, you know, we learned previously, machlokas Rav Shimon and Rav Yosi, whether you actually need a mizbeach for whether a bama has to consist of an actual mizbeach or could it just be any old rock. According to Rav Shimon, that it doesn't necessarily have to be a mizbeach. So according to him, even if it said mizbeach, it wouldn't necessarily mean that it applies to a bama. But according to Rav Yosi Agrivi, who said over there that you must have a built mizbeach for the purpose, even if it's a private bama, then yeah, he would say, ha-mizbeach, so it means the mizbeach in the Mishkan. Rav Shimon would say, you don't even need that. Okay. Richot Yadayim, we said that you don't have to wash your hands and feet before you do the avodah on a bama. This is because the pasuk says, because it says the Kohen have to wash their feet, their hands and feet, when they come to the mizbeach. Again, the mizbeach in the Azara, not excluding the bama. Omar Rami Bacham. So now Rami Bacham says, again, regarding this, we mentioned one of the things we mentioned over here is Mechitza B'dam. This that you need a distinction between the top half and the bottom half of the Mizbeach. We said you need it by the Bama Gdoma, you don't eat it by the Bama Chama. So, Omar Rami Bacham, so Rami Bacham says about this, it's not necessarily so simple. And we actually have, in this piece of Gemara over here, we actually have two different Girsos. We have the girsa that we have inside in the Gemara over here. It's Tosfos' girsa. On the side, it brings over here Rashi's girsa, which ends up being a different explanation. First, we'll deal with what's inside, and then hopefully we'll have time tonight. And if not, then we'll deal with tomorrow the other possibility. So, Ami Rami Bachama, Loishonu el b'kodshe b'makana re'kriven b'makana. This that we're saying that you don't need mechitza b'damim is only regarding the korban, which you designated to bring on a bama k'tana, and you actually ended up bringing it on a bama k'tana. The mechitza b'damim, this that you need a separation between rachatas, where the blood goes on the top half, and all the other korbanos gehema, where it goes on the bottom half, that only applies, says Rami Bachama, if it's kodshim that you designated to bring on a bama k'tana, and you actually ended up bringing them on a bama k'tana. Avo b'kodshim bama k'tana d'kavinim b'bama k'tana. But if you have a korban which you could have brought on bama k'tana, and instead you went and brought it, and instead you offered it on the bama k'tana, or Rashi says actually in keeping with the girsa that we'll deal with later, that it can even mean, let's say a person shechted it outside the azara, and then he brought it into the azara, and is makruv it on the mizbeach and in the azara. Then you would have the din of chitzui, then you would need to have the separation. That if it's the chatas top half, and if it's a different carbon bottom half.
So
if he brought it in, or if he was makhluf it on the bum of Gerlach. The makhluf it on the bum of Gerlach can either mean he shefted it inside the Azara, or it can even mean that he shefted it outside the Azara and then brought it in. Okay, Moisiv Rabba, so Rabba asks on this. We learned the Braisa before. Chaz of a shoik, Shumaslach Metoda. The Chaz of a shoik, that you have to give the chest and the front right leg of a korban, of a shlomim, to the Kohen, and Truma Flach Metoda, and then if you bring a Toda, you also have to give him one of each of the four types of bread that come with it. Noyagim the Kodshim Bom of Dola, those things apply to the Kodshim of the Bom of Dola. The Ein Noyagim the Kodshim Bom of Tana, they don't apply to the Kodshim of the Bom of Tana. So we see from that, therefore, that those things apply to Bom of Dola, they don't apply to Bom of Tana, implying that other things such as Mechitza the Dhamim don't apply. Oh no, the question is, we're saying Kodshei Bom of Dola and Kodshei Bom of Tana, implying that there's a distinction between Kodshim that were meant to be brought on the Bom of Dola originally versus ones that were meant to be brought on the Bom of Tana, but you ended up bringing them on the Bom of Dola. So why are you telling me that there's a distinction over here between you can have a korban which you meant to bring on the Bom of Tana, and instead you ended up bringing it on the Bom of Dola, and you have the rules of the Bom of Dola apply to it, if this Zaita seems to be saying that's different? The answer is, Eman, Nogin, the Bom of Dola, but in Nogin, the Bom of Tana. Okay, change the wording of the Braisa a little bit. It doesn't mean Kodshe Bom of Tana versus Kodshe Bom of Dola. It means these things are Noyeg in a Bom of Dola if you actually bring the korban there. Not if you plan to bring it there versus you plan to bring it on the Bom of Tana, but if you actually brought it there versus not. They know you. The Bom of Tana, they don't apply if you did them on the Bom of Tana at all.
So
in other words, once we've changed the wording of the Braisa, then it fits with what Rami Bachama is saying. Even you have a korban that you were going to bring on the Bom of Tana, but you ended up bringing it on the Bom of Dola, all the rules of the Bom of Dola apply. Therefore, you need Shnufas Chaz V'Shoik, and therefore, you also need, in particular for our purpose, you need Mechitza B'Damim. You need to put the blood on the proper half of the Mezbeach. As opposed to, if we said Kodshe Bom of Dola and Kodshe Bom of Tana, then it would depend where you plan to bring it to begin.
If you plan to do Manaskana, you wouldn't have to.
Then you wouldn't have to. That's what we're saying. That's what we're asking.
So what you plan to do, Rabbi?
That's what we're asking. That's what Rabbi was asking based on that Braisa. And the answer is, if we change the wording of the Braisa, then it fits with what Rami Bachama is saying. Ikadamri, another version of this discussion goes as follows. Amar Rami Bachama, Loishanu el b'kodshe b'amag dola v'ekriven b'amag dola. The other way around. This that we're saying, that you need mechitza b'jomim, on the Mizbeach and the Azara, is only if it's Kodshim that you intended to bring on the Bom of Dola, or that you have to begin with bring on the Bom of Dola, for example, a Chassas or an Ashram, according to as a Chassas or an Ashram, for example, the equivalent of the Bom of Dola, where he actually was master of them on the Bom of Dola, where there we would say that you need Mechitza B'damim, Aval, the Kodshim, Bom of Tana, but if it's Kodshim that you intended to bring on the Bom of Tana, even if you offered them on the Bom of Dola, in Chitzuri, then according to the second version, Rabbi Bachama would say, you don't need Mechitza B'damim in that case. So the opposite, the first version, Rabbi Bachama said, it is that if you're offering them on the Bom of Dola, you always need Mechitza, whether you plan to bring them there to begin with or whether you didn't plan to bring them there to begin with. The second version is you only need them if you plan to bring them there. In other words, again, remember you have four cases. You plan to bring it on the Tana and draw it on the Tana. Plan to bring it on the Tana and draw it on the Gola. Plan to bring it on the Gola, draw it on the Tana. Plan to bring it on the Gola and draw it on the Gola. In the first version, Rami Bachama would say, in three out of those four cases, you do need Mechitza. The only case you don't is if you intended for Bom of Tana and draw it on the Bom of Tana. And according to the second version, only one of those four cases, only if you intended the Bom of Gola and draw it on the Bom of Gola. That you need it. Abba Bakodesh, Bom of Tana, Abba Gabbakalvina, Bom of Dola. But if you intended to bring it on the Bom of Tana, even though you ended up bringing it on the Bom of Dola, in Chitzu, then you don't need Mechitza B'damim, even though you're actually bringing it on the Bom of Dola. That's the second. So according to this, we can say the Braisa the other way around, the Braisa that Rabba brought in a contradiction now becomes a support for him. Lema Mestayale, so should we say this Braisa supports him? because of the shape of Truma Flat Mitzvah, they're knowing in the Kod Shev Ramagdola. Again, that you have to separate out the Chazah and Shoik and give them to the Kohen, and that you have to separate out the one of each type of bread and give them to the Kohen from a Torah. Knowing in the Kod Shev Ramagdola, all those things apply to Kod Shev that were supposed to be brought on the Ramagdola. They know in the Kod Shev Ramagdola, they don't apply to Kod Shev that was supposed to be brought on the Ramagdola. So that supports Yom HaChomer's distinction between something that was supposed to be brought there versus something that was supposed to be brought at the Ramagdola. And the answer is not necessarily because Ema Nogin the Bamagdola, but Ema Nogin the Bamakana. Because not necessarily. You could say that with the Braita didn't mean to distinguish between where you intended to bring it, but only between where you actually brought it. So in that case, it wouldn't necessarily fit with the second version of Rami Bachama that it depends on your intention. Okay.
So then it would depend on what?
So then it would depend. So then it would depend on where you actually brought it. Yeah. Now that's all the version that we have in front of us. Now let's look on the side over here. You have a long footnote over here on the corner over here. Lo shanu el of a kodshed b'magdola. That on the side over here, at the bottom, in the corner over there. Lo shanu el of a kodshed b'magdola. This that we said in the Mishnah, you don't need mechitza b'damim, is only when it was kodshed b'magdola, the kriva b'magdola, where you actually were massive in the b'magdola. But if you meant to bring them on the Bamakana and ended up bringing them on the Bamakdola, then you don't need a Machitza, which means that this first version of Rami Bachama is basically like the second version of Rami Bachama that we had inside the Gemara. So it's sort of flipping them around. Masiv Rava, so then Rava asks a contradiction on that. Because of the Sheikh of Truma Slakna Toda Nogim of Bamakdola, they're in Nogim of Bamakana. According to this version on the side, Rava is quoting the Braita as saying that the only difference is between Bamagdola and Bamakana. Not where you meant to bring it, but where you actually brought it. And the answer is, Ema, Nogin, Bakodshe, Bamagdola, Vein, Nogin, Bakodshe, Bamakana. Okay, you have to change the wording and say that it's not referring to where you actually brought it, but where you intended to bring it and then brought it. Basically what we're doing is flipping around the two versions of Rami Bachama. And then the second version, we Amir Rami Bachama Lashana Alav is Man Bamagdola. According to the second version, we're not making a distinction between where you intended to bring or where you intended to bring or not, but the time. During the time of Issur Bama versus Heter Bama. When do we say that the Bamagdola needs a Mechitza is only in a time when Bamos are offered. But during the time when Bamos are mutter, then even by the Bamagdola, you don't need Mechitza B'Gam. So Lo Shana, this man Bamagdola, of this man Bamakana, Afagab the Kavinim of Bamagdola, but in a time when Bamos Kanas are mutter, even though this particular Korban, and we're not even talking about what your intention was, the fact that you could have brought it on a Bamakana, because they're mutter at the time, so even you bringing it on the Bamagdola ain't Chitza. And then Mosif Rabba, so then Rabba asks on that. So according to this version, Rabba is asking both times. And the answer is, we would change the wording. We would change the wording of the Braith. So we're not talking about Korbanos that were intended to be brought on one or the other. We're not talking about Korbanos that were actually brought on one or the other. We're talking about the time when Bamos were Mosir versus when Bamos were. Just on the side, so you have, it's based on Rashi. It's based on Rashi and the Son Kodshin brings this Girsa.
It's called
a different Girsa. So it starts, says at the beginning, Sarech Lima. I should say it like this. You have many times in the Gemara where you have different Girsois of what it should say. In this particular case, we have a Girsa inside the Gemara over here, and Tosfos seems to accept that Girsa based on something they say at the end of the Sibram Apostle A. But Rashi had a different view, because Rashi clearly talks about this man versus the not man, which is what we have on the side of it. All right, so we'll continue tomorrow, Baruch Hashem. Well, we'll